vaccination programme in England is being extended from today. The over 70s and anyone classified as clinically extremely vulnerable will start receiving letters offering them the vaccine. Now, some hospitals will also start giving inoculations 24 hours a day on a trial basis. Ministers say as more people get immunised, it's possible some lockdown restrictions could start to be eased from March. It comes as 10 more mass vaccination centres open their doors this morning, including at the Totally Wicked Stadium, St Helens Rugby League ground. So far, almost 4 million people in the UK have had the vaccine now. So they're really rolling this out at a great pace. Nick Beeching is from the Tropical and Infectious Diseases section at the Liverpool School of Tropical Medicine and joins me now. Hi, Nick. Thanks for being with us. Great news about more vaccination centres opening. Do you think it's realistic with the aim to vaccinate the top four priority groups by mid-February? We seem to be on track to do it.
Hi, Tony. I think it's they're doing really well. I think we've all become a bit cynical about targets and promises. But so far, that's going really well. They're managing 300,000 a day, which is roughly 2 million a week, which is what they said they would do. And as you just said, 4 million already. So there were about 5 million in the top two groups. And now there's another 5.5 million about to get their invitations. So hopefully it could be done if they're managing 2 million a week.
Yeah, it could be done before. I mean, I'm galloping ahead myself now, you know, but looking at the figures at the moment, we could end up there, you know, before the middle of February. But just asked about reports that the government believes all over 18s could be offered the jab by the end of June. Foreign Secretary Dominic Raab told Sky News that September remained the target. If we can do it faster than that, then great, he said. Achievable?
Yes, and it's nice to have a realistic sort of target. You know, we can do it all by September, provided the vaccines still keep coming through. We hope to do it a lot earlier, and I think that's a nice way to put it. But at the current rate, I haven't done the maths, but yes, I think it would work. But they have got something like 150 million doses of various vaccines on order, and they seem to be coming through at the moment.
We get messages every day. I got one earlier on, you know, somebody who lives in Formby, you know, and they say, well, you wouldn't think there was a lockdown because yesterday it was absolutely chocker. Our parks are busy. Our playgrounds are busy as well. This bearing in mind that we know the vaccine is being rolled out at a great pace at the moment, there just seems to be something in the back of people's minds still that we're all right now and we're far from all right now, aren't we?
Yeah, I'll go back into my Dr. Doom mode now. I'm amazed at how many people are out and about. And we have to remember that the rates have just started to dip. They were phenomenal 2 weeks ago, over 1,200 to 100,000 in Liverpool and most of the areas around central Liverpool. And it's dropped down to just under that 1,000, but that's still a phenomenal risk. So at the moment, it's pretty risky going out, and people need to really think, do I need to go out? And if they do, keep their distance and put their masks on properly.
And of course, a lot of our supermarkets, one did it, then they all followed suit that, you know, you ain't got a mask on, you ain't getting in unless you are medically exempt from this as well. This seems to be working. I visited two supermarkets over the weekend. I kind of pick my times when I go, but you know, if you were to do this 3 or 4 weeks ago, it was 50-50 with masks, and it seems like the vast majority, almost everybody in the shop, had a mask on.
Yes, I think that's right. They're right to emphasise it. Just, you know, the riskiest period over the next month or so, we have this more transmissible strain that's around everywhere, so people are more likely to catch it than they were last year, and there's a lot more people around with it. So very important, and I think quite right that people are enforcing the mask thing. We'd all got a little bit lackadaisical before Christmas, I think.
You mentioned the strain there. What risk do these new strains pose to us and the vaccine as well? Because I think it was the South African strain a few weeks ago, wasn't it? Now it's the Brazilian strain at the moment. Will we see strains from other parts of the world as well? Is this just a natural thing for viruses to do?
Yes, I mean, viruses change all the time. Their mutations and new strains arise, and flu is a really good example, a different virus, but You know, we have different strains every year and different vaccines. So far, the new strains, including, we hope, the resilient ones, seem to be responsive, are likely to be responsive to the vaccines they're doing the studies. The worry would be if we had a mutation that was so different that the vaccines wouldn't protect against it or immunity from having had infection beforehand.
Is that a possibility? Have we seen that before in previous years in different parts of the world? How likely is that to happen, would you say?
Well, everything is possible. I mean, we thought a year ago that the coronavirus would not mutate perhaps as fast as it has, and it does seem to be acquiring lots of different mutations, and it's a sort of mix and match. It's a bit like pick and mix of different bits of the virus. It picks up from its neighbours. So it's possible, and it has been seen with other infections, but so far it's been quite reassuring.
Just going back to the flu virus, and you said that's why we have the flu a jab every year. If the flu virus was just the flu virus and it didn't change, would we just get a jab for life and we wouldn't need one every year? Is that the way these... Sorry, this is simplistic, but this is not my area. But is that what would happen with the virus if it didn't mutate? You get one jab and that's it, you're done.
Yes, absolutely. It's a very good question, actually. And the thing with the flu virus is that they're really almost different viruses each year, so you have to have a jab against them. But if the virus doesn't change and there are completely different viruses like yellow fever, which, of course, we don't have here, or hepatitis B, which we do, once you've had your course of jabs, hopefully that's it for life. And what we hope is that that will be true for the coronavirus, although we really don't know how long the immunity will last, and I suspect we'll need boosters after a year or so.
Great to see a lot of footage over the weekend and the infrastructure that's been put in place in town halls, church halls, cathedrals, tents in fields, schools, youth centres. You know, it's a military operation, this, on a massive scale, and to do what we've done as a nation. This is, I mean, it's remarkable, do you think, Nick? I mean, I think this is incredible what we've done.
No, I think it's wonderful. And there's lots of volunteers who are helping this happen, as well as organisations like St John's, the NHS, the military in different places. But there's lots of people mucking in to get this done. And I think we all recognise it's really important. And let's just hope that success keeps going.
And just one final point. We've been reporting travel restrictions coming into force from 4 a.m, I think, this morning as well. Should that have come along sooner? I mean, it doesn't matter when you put these in. There will always be somebody who said, we should have, would have, could have done this before, you know. But should they have been put in place sooner, do you think?
I could answer that by saying countries that have been very quick to introduce travel restrictions have had more success in controlling the virus. So probably yes.
There's the answer. Thanks very much indeed, Nick. Good to talk to you. And thanks for coming on the programme once again. Nick Beeching, Emeritus Professor of Tropical Infectious Diseases at the Liverpool School of Tropical Medicine. It's BBC Radio.